Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I want to introduce the issue of burnout in the ministry. And please do not consider me to be an expert. I'm a medical doctor and counselor at the same time, but I'm not speaking from the expertise point of view. I want to share with you something that is my struggle as well. So you'll understand it when I tell you more what I'm just involved in. I'm a medical doctor in full-time practice, and I have the privilege to practice in my private medical center for 27 years now, caring for the whole person as a body, soul, and spirit. And this creates a lot of curiosity in the marketplace because this is a very powerful pre-evangelism and also is presenting the loving heart of a father who cares for every individual. At the same time, with my wife, we run a Christian organization. The name is Life and Mission Ministry Poland, which is focusing on recruiting, equipping, and facilitating new generations of leaders for our nation, but also for other nations as well. We are also publishing a quarterly magazine, we are publishing books, and we have a privilege of organizing national conferences focusing on development of a spiritual formation, helping every individual to well-define his heartfelt passion, his personal style of functioning, spiritual giftedness, life assignment of God for his life and for his generation, and considering the legacy he wants to leave behind. So this is the background. We are also pastoring the church that we started, which was not our idea, but probably it was God's idea. But we are not functioning as typical senior pastors in this church. We are like visionary leaders, vision casters, who are facilitating other leaders according to fivefold ministry, where the pastoral team is caring for all the leaders in this community, and the community is introduced into the aspect of an active membership in the body of Christ. There's no passive membership. Everyone in our community church is involved in part of the ministry. So, in brief, you see that the issue of burnout is a constant challenge for someone like me, who daily is at the marketplace as a consulting medical doctor, simultaneously in his free time is leading the church, having a national and international ministry, and tries to live in balance and walk in God's shalom, not being under the pressure, as we just say, very often, tyranny of the urgency. We want to talk about burnout syndrome and how to avoid burnout in ministry. I see that many of you are much younger than I am myself, so it is fantastic because I love to talk at the preventive level. How to warn of the dangers that are approaching us and how not to face them and how to overcome them. But as an introduction, let me share first with you about the causes of diseases. World Health Organization says that 50% of life complaints of all diseases are lifestyle related. So it depends very much on us. It depends on you and me. If any of the diseases will occur. Because even if genetics may have some predispositions for some of the diseases to occur, they not necessarily will have to occur, because it depends on your lifestyle if this disease will occur or not. But if these diseases are lifestyle dependent, let us define what is lifestyle. And if I may, I want to introduce you to my definition of lifestyle, because every one of us is practicing his lifestyle at four levels. First is physical, which is attitude to our own bodies, to this biological vehicle who's carrying us. We are created to God's image. We are reflecting who God really is. We are spirits who have souls and dwell in the body. And the quality of life of the body influences very much how the soul is functioning, but also can infect the spirit as well. So the physical level of our lifestyles, our attitude to our own body, what we eat, how we eat, if we exercise, how we care for our body, do we have enough sleep, and so on. Second level is psycho-emotional level, which is attitude to our own person. Do we walk in peace with ourselves? Do we have any problems in accepting who we really are? Do we find difficulties admitting our weaknesses? Can we rejoice in the positive sides of our life, or are we shameful about that? Third level is psychosocial, which is shaped by the quality of interpersonal relationships. We are destined for relationships. Neurophysiology says that we are wired for relationships. First with God, then with other people. We cannot function without relationships, without relating to other people. God says it is not good for a man to be alone. And it's not only in the perspective of marriage. It's about interpersonal relationships. And the quality of these relationships will shape the quality of our life. And finally, fourth is the spiritual level, which is our attitude to God. And when I speak to the non-Christian audiences, you know, I don't care how they define God. I want them to be aware of a spiritual reality they live in. Because people grew up in a conviction that there is a division between sacred and profane. While from God's perspective, there is no division for sacred and profane because it is interrelated. Spiritual reality lives together with a physical reality. And physical reality very often is a picture, is an illustration of what's happening in the spiritual reality. Okay, and final introduction. We have to define what is stress. The stress is not so much incident or environmental conditions or happenings around us, but stress is state within, is a reaction within, is a response within. So just we have to be aware that instead of stress, we should talk about the stress response. Because the conditions, the pressures, are producing stress with us, which is very subjective. And we may differ in different situations that for someone, something will be stressful, while for the others, not necessarily. Because it will be the background, the wounds, memories, but also environment. We have also to be aware that we cannot function without stress. Stress really spices our life. Friends, you wouldn't be able to pass any exam without stress. Stress makes you effective. Stress makes you intelligent. Stress makes you articulate. Stress makes you communicative. So let's talk about the stress response, because in this seminar, we'll be dealing mainly with the issue of stress that is shaping the quality of life. All our functioning, or our effectiveness, is very much stress related. You see this diagram here, that the effectiveness of our functioning is very much dependent on stress. But notice, please, that I divide the stress into the positive mobilization, which I call L stress, and destructive mobilization, which I call distress. A distinction comes at a level when L stress is mobilizing our function to the optimal level, that we are functioning at our best. And without stress response, we are not able to reach this optimal level. The problem, however, occurs when we cross this optimal level of our functioning, symptoms of exhaustion, of fatigue, are occurring, and if we ignore them, we may enter the stage of exhaustion and finally of burnout and even death. So let me repeat once more. Stress is the spice of life. Stress response is something that is God's designed response to improve our effectiveness. But we have to learn, and here we are different at this level, that the difference between the optimal and threshold level of our effectiveness is very different according to different personalities. So we have to learn diagnosing the zone of fatigue and symptoms of fatigue level when we've crossed the border of a difference between out stress, positively mobilizing stress, into distress, destructive stress. Because if we ignore them, we may enter the stage of psychosomatic disease, when the mental tension is causing somatic disorders in our body, and this may even cause death. So burnout, as you see, is the border between fatigue and exhaustion. And if burnout is ignored, death even may occur. So then how to avoid burnout and how to withdraw from fatigue zone and come back into the optimal level of functioning? This is the topic, this is the issue, this is the theme of our meeting. The problem is that very often we are dealing with the excessive stress reaction, where our response is inadequate to the condition, to the reaction, or to the message that we've heard. And this is shaped very often by our level of security. If we are secure individuals, if we walk in God's shalom, and God is our security, then no conditions and no people can threaten this security level, this shalom. But if we are very much dependent on the approval, recognition, and comments of the other individuals, our level of security is rather low, and it can be easily jeopardized, and very often it can cause inadequate, too big stress response in our bodies. Okay, let me introduce it like that. Because stress is not so much the source of the message or the conditions, not even the information that it brings to ourselves, but stress is generated by us through our perception and interpretation that very often may be falsified according to our security level. That's the falsified perception and falsified interpretation makes me a stressor. So stressor or source of generating stress, it's me, it's my ego. Not so much conditions out from outside, not the message, not the circumstances, but my subjective personal response to it. Therefore, we have to make a new definition of stressor. Stressor or stress response are not the conditions inside, not even other people, but my subjective individual response, which is very often excessive, too big, to the real picture of the whole thing. Are you with me? Yes. You agree with me? It doesn't need an explanation? Fantastic group. I want to go into the area that is my first love in medicine. I had the privilege to introduce preventive medicine health promotion program at the national level in Poland. How to warn people before they reach the state of disease, how to help them change their lifestyle, that the consequences will not be there. Because most of us medical doctors are trained in the intervenal medicine, that we intervene in case of a disease. While early prevention is something that can prevent the disease if we'll change our lifestyle so that we will not have to carry the consequences of our lifestyle. So then the question is prevention of distress, this is destructive stress, stress that can kill us, is it possible? And good news is, it is possible. But we have to reflect on what Christ says. So whatever I'll be saying, please make sure that it is in agreement with the foundation, with the Bible, with what God says. And what Christ says, you can do nothing apart from me. Okay, but if apart from Christ we can't do nothing, it means that we can do something with him or through him, as Philippians says. The question is, do we want to respond differently? Are we ready to enter the stage of transformation of our responses? Because if we believe that we can act, respond differently, and we want to enter the stage of transformation, we have to be aware that the change will occur within us, not necessarily in the circumstances around us. This transformation not immediately will change the attitude of other individuals, of the demanding boss, or disobedient children, or any other circumstances. But the change can happen within us. And here you have the scripture verses to the issue that I can change it is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can enter any stage of transformation through Christ who is within me. If I want it. Scripture is encouraging me. Do not imitate. Do not copy the model you have in the world. But scripture says, be transformed in your thinking, in your responses, in your reactions. And enter God's shalom, that you know that His will is the best for you. And Galatians 2:20 says, remember, it is not you who live. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God of covenant has chosen you to be His temple. And He is in covenant with you. And God says that you sometimes will not be faithful. We are not faithful, but He remains faithful in us. And if He initiated the process, He is a God of covenant. He will not give up. He will continue to the very end. So if you want only to be in cooperation with Him, He's going to do this. So then, transformation then occurs not outside of us, but inside of us, that at the ego level, transformation has to occur. What does it mean? That in the center of my life is not so much my ego and me being in control of my life, but I allow Creator, who knows best, and who has the manual for the perfect condition, that He will allow me to live under His Lordship. So it means that the throne of life is left for Christ, and I allow Him to initiate the process of the inner transformation, that from inside out, the perception and interpretation will come into the true picture, and this can influence the whole environment, because if there will be not a negative response on my side, if I will not be provoked by the unfriendly circumstances, from the spiritual perspective, God says that enemy will give up, because he'll have no joy of provoking someone who does not respond to him. And please do remember that God says that God's enemy will never give up. And he, like a roaring lion, will be surrounding you all the time. Why? Because he wants you to give more attention to him than to the transformation that God is doing within you. And what you are focusing on will be so important. Because if you'll be focusing on the circumstances and on the work of the enemy, you will be reacting and satisfying his desires. But if you'll be cultivating your new identity in God, and you'll be living in under the Lordship of Christ, Lord Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, will introduce his shalom into you. And please do remember, shalom is a Hebrew verb. It's not a noun, it's a verb. Shalom is a verb that introduces peace. It's an offensive verb that removes anything what is dark, what is unpeaceful, and introduces and establishes God's peace and God's order. So, in a way, God brings you back to his original design, the way he wants you to be and wishes you to function. Then, the change at this diagram has to come at the moment when we observe that we've entered the stage of tiredness, of fatigue. In such a way, we prevent the burnout which may kill us. Okay then, but how to distinguish? difference between burnout and stress. Stress, which is stress response, is not burnout. Stress response is mobilizing us, is exciting us to the optimal level of our functioning. When stress response can cause us as a stressor to enter the stage of burnout. What is burnout then? Syndrome of emotional exhaustion and decreased sense of personal accomplishments with false perception and interpretation of reality. Do we agree about that? This is what we've been trying to understand and define so far. So if you find yourself emotionally exhausted, physically fatigued, not being satisfied with what you do and the result that you receive, and as a result, your self-value is diminishing, your security level is lowering, the danger is that you may have false interpretation and perception of the information that comes from outside because you are becoming very defensive, and sometimes someone may share evaluation, but you take it as a critique. Someone wants to mobilize you, and you think that these comments were devastating. Because you are so insecure that you make false conclusions and you do not know what to do about it. Okay, who easily burns out? Easily burn out people helpers who are over-dedicated, who are sympathetic and overcommitted. Let me focus on the word sympathetic. In caring ministry and as you deal with people, it may be your organization, it may be your church, your family. God wants us to be empathetic. God wants us to understand the emotions of the others. God wants to be even advanced in expressing our empathy, that we understand what he's going through. We understand his feelings. Because if we become sympathetic, we identify ourselves with his emotional state, and we start carrying the burden which is not ours. And this can lead us into burnout. In our counseling ministry, my wife and I, we had to learn to be empathetic, but to be careful not to be sympathetic. Because our souls, our emotions would be in danger. In the contrary to that, who is immune to burnout? People who don't care, who are indifferent to others. You say, oh good, they were not burnout. But listen, how many people they harm. Because they cause unfriendly environment, and they promote others to become stressors for themselves. So then how to find balance between that? Okay then, what are the symptoms of burnout? I mentioned fatigue and exhaustion, which may be mental, physical, spiritual, or even emotional. It may be losing your excitement, your passion, in something you've been doing so far with joy. Please don't make self-diagnosing here, because we are not introducing into the therapy. We are trying to help you not to enter the burnout syndrome. In your activity, you are less and less investing into the interpersonal relationships. Please do remember, we are wired for relationships. If we are becoming more task-oriented and we neglect cultivating good relations with people, we may not notice that we'll be using people or we'll be in control of people. We'll be using them or manipulating them, or we'll be living in fear of them. Will be controlled by them, and these are not healthy relationships. We are becoming more negative, critical, and short-tempered. Our reactions sometimes cause a lot of awkwardness in ourselves because this is not the way we would like to behave. And sense of helplessness and inability disarms us in the way that we are horrified when a new problem comes because we say, well, we can't take anything more. So these are the symptoms that are happening in our soul level. And the sad thing is that when you are becoming so critical about yourself that you do not notice even positive results of what you do, and you lost excitement of what you do, you treat yourself like a failure. You think that you are not accomplishing anything. You are becoming very, very critical. At this moment, the burnout syndrome has a clinical name. It's a reactive depression. Well, the falsified interpretation, the falsified image of yourself made you so critical that instead of being your defender, you are becoming your accuser, and you even didn't notice when you began the cooperation with God's enemy, who is the liar and accuser. Okay, what are some conditions that may lead to burnout? First, inadequate resources to support what you are doing. It may be too low salary. It may be not enough satisfaction. It may be lack of other resources that you may work, for example, as a teacher, just whatever, that you do not have tools to do everything accordingly. Second, isolation, which is lack of emotional feedback, that you are doing something, but you feel isolated. No one is noticing it. No one is giving any positive comments. But isolation may be also the fact of a falsified interpretation perception that your low security level makes you blind of noticing any positive comments. You almost ignore them, and you're sensitive only to the negative comments, and you're collecting negative comments only. So this isolation may cause even deeper falsifying level of perception and interpretation. Emotional overload. What I told you about difference between sympathetic and empathetic. While you try to understand emotions of others, you have to be careful not to identify totally with their emotional state, because it may be falsified and you cannot carry the burden of someone that is not yours. High instance of failure and lack of results. That facts show that you are unproductive, so there's lack of this kind of a positive feedback that you are not motivated to continue. Or when the rewards are inadequate. You may work in a job that you are highly committed, you are a fantastic worker, but your boss, your employer does not recognize it and doesn't give any recognition, and there's no reward connected with that. Finally, it may be the imprecise competence that you do not know what you are really supposed to do. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what I'm expected to do? Or am I moving too far? How to do about that? What are the conditions that may lead to burnout? I told you, lack of positive feedback, lack of appreciation or affirmation. Listen, even a child can reach a level of burnout. When the level of expectation from his parents is constantly elevated, and this child never heard from his father, "I am so proud of you." When his commitment and hard work, even if there is no success, is noticed and appreciation is communicated, he will work even harder to make success. But the same is with us adults. If there's no appreciation or affirmation, if there's no gratitude for what we do, we easily reach the level of burnout. And this is the issue when most of the pastors burn out. While focusing at the needs of their congregation, and people through their entitlement want more and more and more, but there's never thank you, there's never gratitude. This is number one cause of pastors burning out. Then being constantly overextended. When you're focusing on the needs, on the assignments, projects, programs, you do not notice that sometimes it is not your responsibility, that you have to learn when to say yes and when to say no. But it's also when you're not really sure if this is what you're expected to do. So this is concerning just in the area of just job description or just very precise role, what we function. And this is difficult stage for many organizations who are improvising and do not have clear philosophy, do not have a clear culture functioning. And this is the responsibility of every leader who is like an employer, that the job description and the clear expectations have to be clearly verbalized and should be a matter of dialoguing with a person that you're employing or just someone you are mobilizing to work with you, that he'll know the boundaries of your expectations, but also of his responsibilities. Another condition that may lead to burnout is conflict of core belief philosophy between you and the organization. It is very tragic. If someone works in the organization or in a firm, when he's not identifying himself with the core values, code of ethics, let's say, of this firm, this may cause to burnout as well. And what I just said at the early stages, lack of good self-care, taking time off, exercising, playing, because there's something that no one else will do instead of you. If you not take care of yourself properly, no one else will. It's brutal, but it's true. This is all introduction that from the medical, neurophysiological, and sociological level I was making now to come to the issue that I want to approach with you Christian leaders. When you as Christian leader are the danger of burnout, so in all this background I was sharing with you, bear this in mind and focus. Let's focus on these four areas now. The danger of burnout is that everyone is facing if he's not functioning according to his heartfelt passion. God created us to his own image. And he says, take care of your heart more than anything else. Because your heart is the source of quality of your life. I'm paraphrasing this verse. So you have to be careful to define your heart passion. You have to be careful to define your dreams that you have in your heart, your desires. You have to be precise to know what really excites you and how to live accordingly to my heartfelt passion. Why? Because if you live accordingly to your heartfelt passion, the feedback, the results will be energizing you. And it's the best prevention of burnout. Because you will not enter the fatigue level, because it will energize you, it will do the feedback, will be giving you more energy, more excitement, and more motivation. But let's continue. Oh, time is passing so fast. Danger of burnout is when we live not in agreement with our spiritual giftedness. Oh, it's even more complicated. But what is my spiritual giftedness? God says that he is giving spiritual gifts as he wishes. Spiritual gifts are given to the church, to the body. And God is looking for individuals through whom these gifts will be seen and through whom the Holy Spirit will serve the whole body. So then the body is responsible to help individuals recognize the spiritual gift. They may say, Andreas, it's fantastic, whatever you do, God is blessing. But when you focus on encouragement and leadership, the congregation is most blessed. Why don't you focus on leadership development and encouraging others, maybe through mentoring ministry? So in such a way, we are assisting Andreas to define his spiritual giftedness, which is given to the church, to bless the church and to help the church to elevate it to the better spiritual level. In such a way, he will not be doing too many things, but slowly will be narrowing down his commitment and engagement to the areas where his giftedness is at the highest level. Is it clear? Are you following me? Okay, let's go further on. But then, the burnout may occur if we'll be forced to function not according to our personal style. Listen, we shouldn't copy one another. We are so different in our temperament, in our personality. And God doesn't want to change the personality. God doesn't want to change the temperament. He wants to sanctify it. That in this diversity, the body of Christ, Christianity, will be exciting. That others looking at us will want to join and will be jealous about the quality of life they will see. But let's go even further. If someone is functioning outside of God's design, assignment, or calling, it may also cause many problems. So let me show you the stages. First is defining your heartfelt passion. What really excites you? What do you love to do? In which area it is not difficult for you to serve to others? What is your personal style? What is your spiritual giftedness? What is the greatest blessing for the church if you do something? And then you are entering the stage of considering living as a man or woman of God according to God's own heart. What is the biblical definition? Man and woman according to God's own heart is someone who knows God's assignment for his life, for his generation. This is the way how Paul verbalizes it when he talks about David in Acts 13. That David was man according to God's own heart because he knew God's assignment for his life, for his generation. Dear friends, in front of you stands a very happy man. Through the journey of his life, I'm 62 now, I'm married to this beautiful woman which is just sitting in the second row there. Alina, could you wave to them? Beautiful and wise woman, we are married for 37 years. We are so helping each other to define our heartfelt passion, our personal style, our giftedness. But the most important was to define Lord's assignment for our life. And finally, to know what kind of legacy we want to leave behind, what kind of permanent fruit we want to leave when we will disappear. Because this is what God is doing, that he's God of generations, and from generation to generation, as a God of covenant, he's the same. And in our ministry, we want to help individuals to, while growing in their spiritual formation, define their heart passion, personal style, spiritual giftedness, and finally, the assignment for life. Okay then, now shortly, how to keep life and work in balance. We talked about the pain of overload, so if you allow me, I skip through that because just I have only 5 minutes to finish. Let me give you some biblical examples and how God dealt with that. Elijah, great prophet of God, who accomplished great things that you cannot compare to any other prophet. In the climax of his life, when he won the great victory at Carmel, suddenly Jezebel says, I hate you, I'll kill you. What was the result?
Hiding, running.
He forgot the success. He entered the fear zone. He became so fearful of his life that he didn't accomplish his mission. Did you notice that Elisha, Jehu, and others had to accomplish what Elijah initiated? God had to take him away. God was afraid that he will die in this condition, so God took him, you remember? But what was the advice of the angel that came to him? Elijah, you're not the only one. I have thousands like you. Don't rely on your feelings, on your emotions. Take care of yourself. Eat something and sleep. Next day, again, eat something and sleep. You're exhausted. And then just God met with him. And then, it's amazing, allowed him not to accomplish his life assignment. Moses, you remember? He was overworked and people were tired with his style. Queuing in the desert, in the sun, waiting for his personal counsel. God sent his father-in-law Jethro, who said, don't kill yourself, but don't kill them. You have to change the style of your functioning. Delegate as much as you can, but remember, part of the authority, this anointing that is on you, will now rest on them. You will share the authority. You will share the anointing. You have to know what you want to accomplish and start doing one thing at a time. Don't communicate too much. They don't grasp the vision. They are not following you. Did he accomplish his life assignment? At the very last moment, he got so frustrated, he was so irritated, that almost unwillingly, he was disobedient. God told him, you will turn to the rock and you will strike it once. What did Moses do? He turned to the people, not to the rock, and struck it twice. God told him, you turn to the rock and says, water come out. What did Moses do? He turned to the people. What do you expect me to do? Should I take water from this rock and hit it twice? By the rock represented Christ. And God prophetic says he will be struck only once, not twice. And as a result, God took him and buried himself that people couldn't find him. He also didn't accomplish his life assignment. Lord Jesus, you remember? Disciples were impressed how he's coping. He had to meet daily with his father, who was telling him, I can imagine, son, how proud I am. You can do it. Please continue. 2 more years. 1 more year. Son is going to be soon, but not yet. But he also was advising his disciples to rest. Remember, go and rest. Take a rest. Don't burn out. Plan time personally with God. Give your problems to Christ. Learn to enjoy life. Then, let's review our conditions. At a physical level, do I remember about taking care of my own body? What I eat, how I eat? Do I exercise, do I have enough sleep? Psychologically, how am I coping with failure, depression, anxiety? What drives me to do it all? Does it make sense? Does it bring fruit? What are the results? At a spiritual level, do I really believe that God cares for me? And then he loves me despite the results, circumstances? I told you that neither Elijah nor Moses accomplished life assignment. 3 other people had to accomplish what Elijah was supposed to do. Joshua had to continue lead the Israelites into the promised land. Moses saw it only from a distance. But did you notice who came to encourage Christ before crucifixion at the Mount of Transfiguration?
Moses and Elijah.
These two. God loved them. And God loved his son. And he said, there will be no better comfort and encouragement than those who really understand what my son is going through. And God appointed these two, from human point of view, failures, not failures, counselors, even to his son, to encourage him and mobilize him at the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, guys, let's summarize it briefly. Have a proper diet. Be active physically, because it's the best way to burn out the stress, and you will not stay in the fatigue level. Rest and relax. Please do remember that you need minimum 7 hours of sleep. Don't eat supper too late, because your liver is through the day functioning as an organ responsible for your metabolism. But through the night sleep, it's cleansing your body of toxins. If you eat too late, you do not get enough time for your liver to cleanse your body of toxins, and then you wake up tired, and you will enter the fatigue level and maybe even be overloaded. So just how you eat, when you eat, how you exercise, how you cultivate relationships, how you relax, how you enjoy life, and how many hours you sleep is very important. For God is everything important, because he says that both body, soul, and spirit, he wants to be cultivated well for his coming. What are the burnout prevention at the psychological level? Accept things that you cannot change. Control your emotions. Cultivate gratitude, joy of living, and choose positive thoughts. You remember, God is promising that he will give his peace if we, on our side, in all circumstances, will focus on the positives. If we cultivate and will notice positive side of every development, his peace will be introduced, and from his perspective, we can walk in his shalom. And God says, don't overcommit, because God will never give you more than you can carry. How practically do it? Set your priorities in life in the right order. Be in good relationships. Find a mentor, someone that can listen and ask questions that you can also respond to and be accountable to. Find a prayer partner that you can lead a transparent life, that you are not in isolation. But also find a Timothy, because God doesn't want you to be that seed that is only taken for himself, want to be built. But when you receive the blessing, release the blessing, bless others, because then you will receive even more. And your touch time management, please do remember that God is focusing on you, not what you do, but on who you are. Because from the intimacy with him, the results will flow. And what we just said, discover your passion, talents, spiritual giftedness, and assignment for life. At the spiritual level, please do remember that Christ has been effective only because he was walking out of intimacy with his Father. He knew what it means to worship Father, but also what does it mean to rest in the loving presence of the Father. Because only people quiet in the presence of God can be inspired. Without being quiet, you can never be inspired. So just make sure that you think according as God thinks, which is meditation of God's word. Guard your heart, cultivate forgiveness. Do not cultivate any resentment, anger, because God says revenge is mine. Release anyone that did any harm to you. Leave it to God. Cultivate forgiveness. Enjoy fellowship with other Christians in such a way from that God's love and joy and excitement may just flow through you. And these are some other points that may be very practical. You need someone who listens to you, who's not correcting you immediately, who's not commenting on everything you say, who just listens. And then you give him space to ask questions, and you're getting curious on his perspective. So look for someone like that. But also take time for the mental break. Have fun. Enjoy life. Christ loved these kind of events. He was going for every possible event that could enjoy life as well. If you read Bible carefully, you will just find it. But also enjoy love, security, and peace, and goodness of Lord, and meet him, know him. Allow him to be revealed as a loving Father, who just loves you. He's not your accuser, who's your defender, who's the God of covenant, who's committed to give it all, and he wants your life in abundance. If you have a false image of God, as a boss who's very demanding, get rid of it. Christ came to reveal the Father, and he gave it all. God loves you in such a way that you cannot even imagine. And if you ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of sonship and adoption will show you the Father heart of God. And when your heart will be attached to the God the Father, his love will flow through you, and you will be not creating stress, but encouragement and loving acceptance for the others. And then we can just follow Christ, what he says, Lord, I have glorified you on earth by completing the work which you have done, given to me. Christ knew God's assignment for his life, for his generation. That's why, really fulfilled and happy, he could leave this earth and pass on everything to the next generation. And he says, I gave you the example. Now, follow me, do the same, and you'll be blessed.